make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله. This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Don't Disturb Mother. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome to A to Z here on I'm English Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And obviously the not disturbing mother, not disturbing our mother, the mother, first of all, I'd say this goes towards the idea that we have this huge respect for women in general, but then especially for our mothers, given that we all know very well that heaven lies at the feet of the mother. So obviously this is something quite special, and obviously in a sense we're supposed to be even more aware, even more sensitive towards the needs of the mother, because when we compare mother and father, we're always told and we're always taught that the mother is more sensitive, the mother is more emotional, and if anything, we should try to satisfy the needs of the mother even over and above the father. And you might observe this anyway in your families. The father will urge everyone to sort of be especially considerate towards the mother. So I just want to give an example from life of one of the famous martyrs of the Holy Defense, Ibrahim Hadi. So he was particularly respectful towards his mother, towards all his female family members, and for sure towards women in society in general. So he was especially careful not to bother his mother. So as an example, if he had been out with maybe just engaged in some of the activities before the revolution and then also maybe just meeting up with some of his friends, and if he was getting back to the house a bit late, let's say after midnight, 1 a.m, he wouldn't even ring the doorbell because he didn't want to wake his mother up. So what he would do instead, he'd actually sometimes just go to the local mosque and sort of lie down there so he didn't disturb anyone in his house. And then that obviously meant that he was right there for Fajr prayer as well. Welcome back to A to Z here on I'm Being Shredded with me, Sister Zainab. And also I'm talking about this idea that we should pay special attention towards the needs of the mother. And obviously I've mentioned how Martyr Ibrahim Hadi wouldn't even ring the doorbell when it got to be sort of late at night and he was coming back a bit late. And I'm just wondering how many of us have been that considerate towards our family or especially our mothers. You know, obviously many of us, if we've been out, maybe if we're still living with our family, you know, we don't have to ring the doorbell because we've got a set of spare keys. But if you just think to yourself, even just, you know, trying opening the door, just the sound of the keys in the door and that the opening of the door and the closing of the door can, with some people, be enough to even wake them up out of their sleep. So these are other issues. So how much can we do to really be considerate other people. What can we do to be more considerate of our mothers in particular? So what does that mean? So does that, so obviously that would mean in a very, in this sort of situation that for sure, if we're coming back late and we are sort of living, visiting, whether we're visiting our parents, our mother are still living in the house, we do not make noise. So we do not, if we've come back, a friend is bringing us back, we don't start talking to a friend outside our parents' house or outside the apartment door, for example. And we certainly don't make a lot of noise trying to open the door. So everything has to be very quiet. But you know, obviously, I think you get the idea. This just extends to general consideration. And obviously, I will also just bring in the reminder that the duties that we have towards our parents and especially our mother, I always say especially our mothers, is to treat them with kindness, not just while they're still quite young, but especially as they get older. We should not voice any sort of word of displeasure or discontent. So I pray that these are reminders for all of us, and I look forward to welcoming you to another episode of HZ here on Iron Beings Radio, and farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z, and for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
Shines above. You're the reason I never give up. You're the one I try for. Live my life for. Give up all I have. You're the melody, you're the key, all the inspiration I need. And when times get tough, I know you'll stand by me. You are the love I need, the one who has got. And you know.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
The following is part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with school and university students. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi Husseiniyah on November 3, 2025, on the eve of Student Day and the National Day of Fighting Global Arrogance. They attribute the conflict between the Islamic Republic and the U.S. to your chance of down with the USA. They're being naive. It's foolish to think that simply because a nation chants down with the USA, its enemy would become this antagonistic for that reason alone. No, the down with the USA slogan isn't a matter of such gravity that the U.S. would oppose, confront, and challenge Iran solely because of that. The issue is a matter of an inherent conflict, an inherent incompatibility. It's a clash of interests between the two currents, the U.S. and the Islamic Republic. Some people ask, all right, we haven't surrendered to the U.S., but does that mean we'll never have relations with them? Are we going to oppose the U.S. forever? The answer to that question is as follows. First, the U.S.'s arrogant nature accepts nothing other than submission. This is something that all the U.S. presidents have wanted. They just didn't state this openly, but the current U.S. president has stated this. He said Iran must surrender. He essentially gave this matter away. He exposed the U.S.'s inner nature. They wanted the submission of a nation like Iran with all its capacities, its vast wealth, its background of thought and knowledge, and all its bright, highly motivated young people. What would be the meaning of such a surrender?
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Now, we cannot make guesses about what's going to happen in the distant future, but everyone must know this, that the solution to many of our problems is us becoming strong. We must make the country strong. The government must carry out its work in its various sectors with strength. The military forces must carry out their duties with strength. The youth must pursue their education and scientific advancements with strength. If the country becomes strong, and the enemy senses that confronting this powerful nation will bring no profit but only loss, then the country will definitely become immune. There's no doubt about that. Military strength is essential, scientific strength is essential, and good management of the country is essential. These things must be carried out. The strong motivation of you, the youth, is also essential. So don't lose this motivation. Don't lose this spirit.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me. You've done for me.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Good morning to all listeners of Iran Radio. Nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. And here are some interesting facts about Islam. Muslim scholars such as Abu Ali Sina or Ibn Sina, 1980 to 1037, known in the West as Avicenna, made very significant and substantial advances and discoveries in medicine. When Christians came into contact with the Muslim world during the Crusades, they brought back Muslim scholarship, which in turn helped spark the European Renaissance. Islamic astronomy became highly advanced during the Middle Ages. Astronomy was important to Muslims because it could be used to figure out the direction of Mecca so that people knew which way to face during prayers. This is one example of how the Western world is still influenced by Muslim innovations. Thank you for listening. You are listening to Iran Radio, and now the continuation of the programs. We start off this hour's programs with Radio Productions feature. Then it's time for our Radio Productions feature once again. And we'll finish off this hour's programs with Ulema's speech.
The ancient city of Hafshedon is a good place for archaeology enthusiasts to pay a visit. According to the findings of the excavations that have taken place in some of these old mountains, people have been living in this area for about 9,000 years. And so the city of Hafshedon is considered to be one of the first settlements of the New Stone Age.
The city of Hafshedon, also known as the City of Industrialists, is in the southwest of Iran, 12 kilometers from the city of Shahrekor. Hafshedon is in the second largest valley of the province of Charmahal Bakhtiari at the foot of the beautiful Jahanbin Mountain. According to the locals, the city of Hafshedon has an invaluable heritage left behind from lost civilizations. And to see these historical treasures, we're heading towards the Jahanbin Mountain. Our Hafshedoni friends told us that we had 2 hours worth of hard hiking ahead of us. So we decided to make a quick stop at a nearby spring and fill our bottles with its fresh and cool water before heading out again. No pain, no gain, I suppose. Every single time we felt we'd had enough, the thought of what we were going to see once we arrived kept us moving until we finally reach the Ganlevichte inscription. Unfortunately, because of the ever-changing climate, the scorching hot sun, and the freezing snow, the symbols are mostly gone. That we got to see an ancient relic before it was totally destroyed, we headed towards our next destination, a place said to be nature's playground, the Schafmannsaar Mountain.
On our way up to the Schafmannsaar Mountain, we were promised that we'd be able to see some of the most amazing views Hafsjordan has to offer. And they were right. Nature is amazing and playful at times. If you look over there, next to each other, you'll be able to see two figures. One could be an elephant and one a buffalo. I'm sure that if you use your imagination and look all over this place, you'll be able to find many more.
Let your imagination run wild. That's what we were told. If we had gone further up the mountain, we would have definitely seen more of nature's artistry. But you would have had to have the eye and the heart for it. Feel the force around you, so to say. And the last but not least location we'll pay a visit to is the Iskandari Hill in Hafsjordan. This is the first and largest national historical site in the province of Charmahola Bakhtiari. Based on the remnants of pottery that were discovered on this site and around it, it is estimated that it dates back to about 9,000 years ago and probably had a structural form similar to a ziggurat. This is the end of our journey, but there is still so much more to be seen. I guess we'll leave the rest to you. This is Gona Fanidi for Iran.
Most objects made from clay touch us so deeply. What's so special about them? Why is a jar, a plate, a pot, or even this little fish made from clay so evocative? Well, for starters, they're made from the essence of life, fire, earth, and water. You see, this is life itself, and I can feel her little heart beating.
A ceramic workshop belonging to a friend was probably the best place I could learn more about the art of ceramics. A two-story working studio that throws you into the land of pottery, where all is plates, platters, dishes, bowls, jars and mugs made from clay. I call them artworks and handmade treasures. Excavations show that the art of pottery dates back to the 7th and 8th millennium BC in Iran. As time went on and techniques improved, this art form reached new heights and masterpieces were created. The masterful brushstrokes of the Iranians on the ceramic works were the true narrators of the people's stories, their culture, customs, way of life, taste, talents, religious beliefs, and of course, their prayers. A Azadeh wanted to draw more attention to the art of ceramics, and so she decided to bring various artists together to paint on a ceramic plate. In the exhibition, around 250 artists took part, each displaying their own unique ceramic plate. The event was warmly received by the people. It was very interesting to see how a simple ceramic plate could produce an endless possibility of designs and forms that reflected the emotions of its creator. Each plate was unique and amazing because as you stood there watching the brushstrokes, you could hear it whispering, telling you little secrets of the artist that brought it to life.
Let me tell you something interesting. Each artist was given one and only one plate to paint on. Sounds challenging. Well, they all took up the challenge and created their own unique ceramic painting that told their own story.
A challenging experience, but at the same time, intriguing. Working with clay, with the elements of life, must surely be enjoyable. And life's all about that. After all, as Omar Khayyam, Iran's prominent poet, puts it, "And strange to tell, among the earthen lot, some could articulate while others not. And suddenly, one more impatient cried, 'Who is the potter, pray, and who the pot?'" Hodalezgi for Iran.
Thank you. if we were able to target cancer cells directly without affecting the healthy tissue surrounding it. Well, that's exactly what the scientists here at the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran have been able to do using yttrium 90. So in this week's episode of Iran Tech with me, your host Ali Reza, we're going to dive deep into how yttrium 90 can be used to target cancer cells in the liver directly without affecting the healthy tissue surrounding it. Stay tuned. Let's clarify something first. When I say liver cancer, I don't mean just the type of cancer that the cancer tumors that originate from within the liver. I also mean other types of cancers that have metastasized, and you can find the metastasized cancer tumors inside the liver as well, which actually makes up the majority of liver cancer cases. And treating liver cancer has been traditionally difficult using surgery and chemotherapy. Because only about 30% of actual patients qualify to get these treatments. And, you know, speaking of the treatments, chemotherapy itself is unpleasant, and we all know it. You lose body hair, your body is weak. There's plenty of reasons to try to avoid it if you can. And you can using this groundbreaking technology. Microspheres that contain yttrium 90, these tiny glass beads with this radioactive isotope, the radioisotope of yttrium, not the neutral yttrium 89, the radioactive one, yttrium 90. So you can inject these tiny glass beads into the bloodstream, into the blood supply of the cancer tumors, and it can selectively, using selective internal radiation therapy, SIRT, it can target those cancer cells directly and, you know, leave everything else untouched. So this is how yttrium 90 can help treat liver cancer. So first we're going to learn about how it's made, and then we're going to take a closer look at how it works.
Our particle manufacturing process as microspray involves several stages. To create the particle, we first combine the raw materials and form a suspension. We then synthesize them using the Sol-Gel method to achieve the desired chemical composition. After completing the Sol-Gel process, the next step is drying to obtain the target powder. Subsequently, to achieve the intended structural properties, biocompatibility, and a specific characteristic termed PATL, the synthesized powder undergoes heat treatment at a controlled temperature. Following this, the sample is milled, and the insert process, a term used for spheroidization, is performed to shape the particles into spheres. Once spheroidization is complete, the particles are spherical, but exhibit a broad size distribution, ranging from approximately 15 to 20 micrometers. However, the final product requires particles between 10 to 20 micrometers. To achieve this, we perform particle size classification using mechanical sieving, mechanical screening. After sieving, quality control, QC, is conducted under a microscope. The particles are then sterilized, packaged into specialized vials, and sent for irradiation.
These microspheres, these tiny glass beads that contain yttrium 90, they need to be a very specific size, between 20 to 40, 50 microns. So basically thinner than a hair strand. And they need to be exactly that size or exactly within that range, because if they are too small, then they could essentially seep into other organs of the body. If they are too big, they will just get lodged into the main vessel that is going into the liver. So it needs to be, the size needs to be just right. So once they are injected, they'll essentially lodge themselves around the area where the cancer tumor is getting fed from the blood supply. And they start emitting beta rays that start to shrink the cancer tumor by destroying the DNA of the cancer tumor. And that way, it'll gradually shrink down and get replaced by healthy cells to the point that we can hopefully say that the cancer tumor is essentially gone. And it's compared to the typical external radiation methods, you know, you have to do multiple hospital visits, whereas this is a one-time injection, which is also a lot more precise, hence the selective internal radiation therapy, SIRT. So we're going to take a closer look at how this process works first, and then talk about the broader implications of it.
The patient is first prepared with mild sedation and local anesthesia at the groin. A small incision is made to allow insertion of a catheter into the femoral artery. Using real-time imaging, the catheter is carefully navigated through the arterial network until it reaches the hepatic artery, the main vessel supplying the liver. At this point, a carefully measured suspension of yttrium-90 loaded glass microspheres is injected directly into the hepatic artery. These microspheres, each between 20 and 50 microns in diameter, travel with the bloodstream until they lodge in the tiny arterioles feeding the tumor. Their small size ensures that they preferentially accumulate in the tumor's vascular bed while bypassing much of healthy tissue. Once the microspheres are in place, they begin to emit beta radiation. This form of radiation penetrates only a few millimeters, targeting the tumor cells while largely sparing the surrounding healthy liver tissue. The beta particles disrupt the DNA within cancer cells, impairing their ability to divide and triggering cell death. This localized radiation gradually shrinks the tumor over several days, as the continuous emission of energy damages the cancer cell's structural integrity. The entire injection process typically takes between 60 to 90 minutes. In the days following the treatment, the microspheres continue to emit radiation, steadily damaging the tumor from within. Throughout this process, the targeted nature of the therapy minimizes systemic side effects typically seen with the traditional chemotherapy or external radiation. By concentrating the therapeutic effects directly at the tumor site, normal liver function is largely preserved, and patients often experience a significant improvement in their quality of life. The precision of this treatment reduces complications and supports a quicker recovery, allowing patients to resume their normal activities sooner. This method represents a significant advance in the treatment of liver cancer, offering a minimally invasive alternative that delivers high doses of radiation directly to the tumor while minimizing exposure to healthy tissues.
It is important to note that the yttrium or Newell glass microspheres injected into patients are biocompatible. The particle size for these microspheres is within the 40 to 50 micron range. Particles smaller than 50 microns risk passing through hepatic capillaries and leaking into the lungs. Particles larger than 50 microns avoid this issue, as they do not migrate from blood vessels into the liver mass. Due to these critical size-dependent effects, strict quality control, QC testing, is performed on the particles to ensure their size falls within the specified range.
The yttrium glass microspheres discussed here are not our primary focus. However, they represent the latest achievement of the radiotherapy equipment research laboratories at the Nuclear Science and Technology Research Institute and are classified as medical devices. This technology serves as a non-surgical alternative for inoperable tumors, either as a standalone treatment or in combination with chemotherapy. A key advantage of this method over conventional radiotherapy is its ability to spare healthy liver tissues, which are highly sensitive to radiation, thereby minimizing adverse side effects. We selected a product with a 100-day time frame to enable faster commercialization and market readiness. Currently, our laboratory focuses on producing internal radiotherapy products, including brachytherapy techniques. These are targeted therapeutic methods capable of localized treatment of tumor tissues. Producing these devices positions us as a regional hub for advancing medical tourism, It is worth noting that our laboratory is the only active facility in the country and the broader region, excluding Russia, specializing in the production of medical radioactive sources. This grants us significant potential in medical tourism. The production of yttrium-90 glass microspheres has already been successfully implemented at the Nuclear Science and Technology Research Institute. The pilot scale production stages are now complete. The animal phase has been completed, and all necessary tests, including toxicity, dimensional, and density tests, which are specific to the production process, have been conducted. The physical parameters of the product align with those of commercial sources, and from our perspective, this phase is fully accomplished. However, to enter the market, it was imperative to conduct the clinical phase to determine the product's efficacy. We are currently carrying out the clinical phase in collaboration with Shahid Beheshti, University of Medical Sciences. Approximately 20 patients have been treated with this product so far. Initial results reported by the treating physicians have been satisfactory, meeting the parameters we prioritize, such as absence of toxicity, no leakage to other organs, and concentration in liver tissue. These outcomes have been observed and documented in several early-stage treatment cases. Indeed, the preliminary results have been declared promising. These results may include reductions in tumor size, tumor necrosis, decreased vascularization, diminished blood supply to the tumor tissue, and I would like to highlight reduced metabolic activity within the tumor area. Fortunately, the outcomes thus far have been encouraging. God willing, upon completing the clinical phase and analyzing the results, we will proceed to secure the required permits from the Ministry of Health, Treatment, and Medical Education to introduce this product to the market and commence its commercial distribution.
We've come to the end of this episode of Iwan Sick.
IRIB English Radio.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
On the night of Qadr, the angels descend. In a hadith by one of the infallible Shia Imams, we read, use Surah Al-Qadr in discussions with our opponents about imamat. Tell them, is the night of Qadr for 1 year or every year? All Muslims and Shia and Sunni say, there is a night of Qadr every year. Say, very well. So, there is a night of Qadr every year. When it is the night of Qadr, don't then say, now, where is the night of Qadr? When it's night here, it's day in America. When we say night, we mean that period of darkness on Earth. In reality, this shadow of darkness on Earth collectively forms one long night, which occurs at the specific time for each location. Its totality across the earth is that same night. The question is, when the angels descend, where did they descend during the Prophet's time? Of course, upon the Prophet. Well, after the Prophet, there must be also someone whom the angels go to. Has an angel ever come to you? Has it come to me? The Imam says, say, is the night of decree for 1 year or every year? They say, for every year. Say, so if the night of Qadr is for every year, then every year the angels come. They say, yes. Say, well, where do all the angels go? During the Prophet's time, they descended upon the Prophet. So after the Prophet's time, there must be also someone worthy for the angels to be honored by his presence. And in this way, they proved that there must be an infallible Imam. And now, it is Imam al-Mahdi, peace be upon him, whom the angels reach in the service of the Imam of the age on the night of Qadr. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.